This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hijabs,
okay. Date palm, date.
Selling dates, date palm. Yes, dates, date palm.
Trading. Trading.
Yes, mentioning the Prophet ﷺ being engaged in business before his wife Khadija, before he managed her business, so that can give it some relevance. Again, one of the most noted characteristics of business is deception. You know, business people are noted for cheating their customers. And you can tell the story of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he came to the marketplace and he put his hand into a pile of grain which was being sold, pulled out wet grain, and he asked the man, "What is this?" And he said, "Well, rain fell on the grain last night." So he said, "That's what you should have shown and sold. Because by covering it with dry grain, people think they're buying dry grain and it's being sold by weight, and grain which is wet will weigh twice as much as the dry grain. So you are cheating the people." You see? And then he called the people of the marketplace, the business people, he called them up all together and he said what? "Man rashana wa laysa minna." You got everything there. You know, everything that you need is there, right there in that one story. It's saying something about business and about honesty, you know, all of it is there. That we don't cheat others because we're all engaged in some kind of business. So, I think that becomes very, very appropriate there. Okay, what else could we add? Riba, what age are they? Again, 12, 13. Maybe riba might be too advanced for them.
Assalamu alaikum. You can talk to them about where Allah is saying the Quran verse about businesses. When you are going to a business, it's important that you have witnesses and you should write it down, you know, as in ethics of the business. And you can also talk about certain Jum'ah, go about your business after you are. So business is illegal, accepted.
I think though that the writing down of the contract may be a bit too advanced for them. Now again, we got to try to find what matches. But the other verse which says, "Awfu bil uqud," you know, that what you commit yourself to in business, you must do. Also the one which talks about, you know, giving the proper weight, you know, when you're weighing, that you don't. But again, that comes from that hadith. But you can bring the hadith, the Quranic verse as supportive. So we do have Quranic reference in business. For honesty, basically, the key here is honesty. And we have a number of verses in the Quran which talk about being honest in business. Okay? Work ethics. Yes. Okay.
What we used to promote during this lesson is ethics, you know, punctuality also, honesty, good manners, because of how you're going to treat your customers also matters. So we try to build it into the lessons.
Yes, that's good. And we have hadith for this also, where the Prophet ﷺ had said, "Inna Allah yuhibbu min ahadikum idha amila amalan and yutqina." But Allah loves from each and every one of you. Whenever you do anything, you do it to the best of your ability. So you do a good job, you be there on time. This is all related to itqan in work. Fastly.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm introducing them to the concept of seeking Allah's counsel whenever, whether they're going to start a business, whether they're going to make any business decision. That's the concept of Salatul Istikhara, seeking Allah's counsel before we make any major decision in our lives.
Good idea in general, but for the 11, 12-year-olds...
Mm-hmm. This is something we have a financial literacy class, mm-hmm. and we introduce that concept, and they're very much aware of the concept, and we just extended the knowledge that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to make istikhara for any decision that we want to make. So,
yeah. Okay, if you find that it works, they're able to grasp it at age 11, 12, then it's good, inshallah. MashaAllah. Huh? That was it? I think we covered basically all of our principles easily fit into our business class here. Okay, let me see if we can pull up another one. Okay, somebody recognize their handwriting here? This is English teaching adverbs. Who is the owner of this? Why couldn't she come?
Because she's a Christian, and from our knowledge of her, she's not someone who would fit in easily to this kind of setting.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we put it up on purpose, because like I mentioned yesterday, our English teachers are all Christians. So even if we wanted to do this, we would not be able to ask them to do it. So when we're coming, we try to bring something from English on purpose to see. Because we're not even sure what this was going to be about. Is there a way to get around with this? Teach adverbs and Islamize it at the same time.
Well, we believe that it is possible. But whether you can just put it in the hands of a Christian, a non-Muslim to do it, that's another issue. If they are willing, you see, if they're cooperative and they're willing, it is possible. Because I have introduced this in India to Hindus. In that same school, Unity School, about 30% of the teachers there were Hindus, and they did it. Because they were cooperative, they were prepared, because we were not asking them really to do anything which goes against their religion. You know, we're talking about moral messages. Who is against morality?
When you talk about general principles of morality, we don't have a problem there. Mm-hmm. Our non-Muslim female teachers actually come to school dressed almost completely covered. It's just they will not wrap the hijabs around their heads or the veils. They would actually tie scarves fully. They wear full-length skirts and so on. When we are dealing with general principles, they don't have a problem. It's when one wants to get very particular. This is coming from the Quran, then we have a challenge there. One, secondly, just from watching what you had to do today, it's not easy sometimes to bring forth verses of the Quran, hadith, stories from Sirah, figures from Syria that match the topic, even for Muslims, even with our existing knowledge base. So when we put it in the hands of a teacher who has no knowledge base, the person is actually starting from zero. So this is part of the challenge. If I had known we would be required to come up and defend what's up there, maybe I would have picked something else.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying it's the house that can help.
Yeah, sure. Let's.
So nobody should look at me as an expert. No, on the subject.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, it's adverbs, as you can see. The teaching method is define, list, then explain. Which would be done basically by the teacher as well as by the students. Instructional materials are listed there, thinking routines also listed there. This class is GSS3. That's grade 9. You can see it. Okay, so I should read it all out. Thinking routine, think, pair, share. I used to think such and such, now I think this. Introduction, lessons will be introduced with the teacher. With the teacher randomly picking students to say what they know and understand about adverbs. It's assumed, of course, that they know a lot already because they've encountered adverbs right from primary school over and over again. It's just the level of complexity that will be decided upon by the teacher in this case. Behavioral objectives. At the end of the lesson, students should be able to state the meaning of an adverb, mention and explain different types of adverbs, give examples of each type of adverb and use them in sentences. Students will be introduced to verbs, giving them an idea of the lesson and so on and so forth. Since we all know basically what adverbs are, the challenge now is how to bring in the 5 principles where possible and attach them to the lesson. Presentation step 1, the teacher guides the students in stating the meaning of an adverb as a word that modifies a verb, an adjective or another adverb. It's used to describe the action of a verb, such as where, when, or how an action is done.
Okay, so in this context here, the verbs and the adverbs and the adjectives which are used can have some Islamic context, you know, they can be related because in the word by itself anyway, as an adverb and a verb, we want to put it in a sentence because it's the whole, you're not going to study it by itself. You're going to put it in a sentence. So this is where your point of Islamization comes in terms of the text that you're working with. The sentences that you use illustrating would have Islamic references, right? That would be the connection. What you could do when you're asking them to find the adverbs, you may take some verses from the Quran, some hadiths from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which contain the adverbs, and you ask them to find the adverbs. So in the exercises, you can bring in your Islamic context. And then, to illustrate further, you can use some kind of short moral, short story, you know, and you, again, you ask them as comprehension, reading comprehension, combined with the recognition of the adverbs, identify the verbs, the adverbs, the adjectives, and so on. So, then, in that short story, a moral message can be given, right? The others are just lines, sentences. The Quranic verse is only a sentence. The hadith is only a sentence, which may contain adverbs in them. That's what you look for. So this is how, most obviously, I think we can Islamize our class on verbs. Anybody has any other ideas?
Language. We have Muslims that studied language.
Yes, it's possible. What age is this?
13.
13. Oh, yeah, okay, these are bigger kids, yes. It's possible to mention, or what I would maybe, let's take your point first. The great grammarian, Muslim grammarian, maybe a great grammarian, Sibawayh, something like this could be mentioned. But of course, you see, this is Arabic related. Will they do dictionary work?
Sometimes, yes, but especially if the passage is given where there are words that the teacher knows, they are not likely to know the meaning of, then they are referred to the dictionary.
Mm.
Yes, but not as a major objective, only if they encounter such.
Okay, the other thing that we can do, remember, there is a body of words in English whose origin is Arabic. So for the English teachers, they need to compile all of these. So they can work it into their classes. So whilst they're teaching them, sugar came from sukkar. You know, jabr came from al-jabr. Algebra came from al-jabr. So for English teachers, they would specifically need this. So this is something that the department combined working with Arabic teachers who may be more able to catch these words more. Then you build up your body, some collect compilation of Arabic words which exist in English now. So then you can use those when you're illustrating your adjectives and your adverbs. Your adverbs can be taken from related to verbs or modifying verbs. So these verbs which are used could be Arabic in its origin. So we're giving them that connection that way. Okay? Anything else? Muslim what?
Assalamu alaikum. I said poetry written by Muslims can be used, and then you can ask the students to highlight adjectives
in the poems, yes, yes. Also, yeah.
Wouldn't that be more appropriate to look for in literature class where they are tackling poetry?
Yeah, the literature class, you would be focusing on the poem itself. You know, what type of a poem, is it a sonnet, is it a whatever. So it would serve that purpose. But in this context, it would be just the text that you're using as exercises that you give them to extract the adverbs from, you know. So it's a text you're using. Not necessarily, but indirectly, they're getting the message. Okay? Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I think for your non-Muslim teachers, you can assist them as well. When they are trying to set up their lesson plans, for example, for exercises, you can try to help them chip in something that is the Islamic items you want them to. Like, somebody was telling an example, Ar-Rahman, from verse 1 to 5, when they want to identify the adverbs there, you write it for them in English, that is during, when they are setting up their lesson plan. You write it for them, so that when they go to the class, they can give this to them as an exercise. I'm sure when the students go home, or with another Muslim, when they see it on their papers or so, they can relate to them that this is the verse of Ar-Rahman and all that. So you have to assist the non-Muslim teachers in setting up their plan so that they can inculcate the new curriculums that you have for.
Yeah, the idea is that you need to have cooperative non-Muslim teachers. That's the main point that I made earlier. If they're not cooperative, then you don't need to have them. You've got somebody who has another agenda in your school. The people you need to be working with you should be those who are cooperative, willing to try to find out, how can I, what can I do, can you help me? This is the type of people you want. You know, if they're not like that, if they're standoffish, this is just a job, I'm just getting my money, and you know, I don't want to do anything that has Islam, I don't want Quran, I don't want Hadith. These type of people will hurt you in the end, will hurt your children. So,
just so it doesn't seem as if I'm painting the wrong picture of Christian teachers, they are largely cooperative. As I keep emphasizing, it's when we get distinctly religious. Because, let's be frank, Nigeria, we are still learning how to accept one another, the Christians and the Muslims. When we couch things in religious words, that's where we start having those slight bumps. But otherwise, they are largely cooperative. When it comes to character building and supporting activities, they don't have a problem whatsoever.
But you know, the thing is that the bottom line is, it is a Muslim school.
Which they accept.
Okay, accept it, you know, completely. Not accept what you like of it, and don't accept what you don't like. You know, if we came to work in a Christian school, they have their rules. How many years have we been doing this? Complying with their rules. So, what is wrong with them complying with our rules? Nothing. There's no, nothing wrong. You know, I think we just need to take a little stronger stance.
Yes.
You know? I know you want to be, you know, accommodating and,
no,
you know.
It's not that. You want to be effective.
Mm.
And if you can set rules and people can put on the appearance of following the rules, let's be honest. It's one thing to set the rules. It's another thing for them to effectively impart it. So why I keep asking this question is how to make sure it's effectively done, even in one's absence. Because we can't monitor every class. To be sincere, even some of these things we are asking schools, we are talking about Islamization. Let's be sincere, from what we know of schools and of teachers, even some Muslim teachers will still not do it effectively. That's the truth. It's the truth, yes. Why I keep asking the question, it's not because we can't make rules in our school and say follow if you don't follow, get out. We can. However, we are looking for what's effective. Is that the only option we have? Is there another effective way? That's why I keep asking the question. Not because we have a brick wall, we don't. It's just how many doors are open to us.
The challenge.
It's a challenge. I keep asking. I'm not asking because I think it's impossible. I ask because I want to hear, are there many other doors? We have some ways of getting around some of these issues, even as I'm asking. But I don't want to assume that our way is the only one or the most effective, or because it's worked so far, then it's fine.
Well, the bottom line is that it's a learning process,
yes,
right now, you know. But we should be clear on the ideal. And we should be clear also not to compromise the iman of our children at the cost or for academic excellence. You know, because in the end, if we have a school with teachers who are not the academic models, so our students may be not so strong in maths or not so strong in science, whatever, but deen, they are solid. When they graduate, or before they graduate, you can get tutors to help them. You can fix it. But now, if you compromise, and we say we want academic excellence, so we bring these teachers in here, and they give that academic excellence, but they distort or cloud or corrupt the iman of our children, fixing iman is not easy. It's not easy. I know it's a because I hear people talk, we want the best for our children. They say, we want the best for our children. But what is the best? Is the best to be the top mathematician or the top
Muslim, you know, it's the top Muslim, first and foremost. So we have to be careful what represents the best. What can be fixed, academics can always be fixed. What can't be fixed is iman, very difficult to fix. When people have corrupted that iman, their outlook, their understanding, very difficult to bring them back later on. Because we're talking about kids who graduate from high school, they're going to go into university. If they leave our institution from high school, they leave with their iman polluted, then they're going to be problems in the future. That is the norm. So we have to wait. And it's better if we have to compromise on the academics rather than on the deen. That's what I would just suggest. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we'll look at one more. How is our time going? Recognize this primary class, primary one. Would you please like to share this with us? Parts of the arm.
This is primary one, class 6 year old, 5-6 year old. The subject is science and the topic is parts of the arm. Previous knowledge, they can identify and name major parts of the body: head, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, chest, back, arm. Instructional materials: a chart of the body with the previous parts labeled.
Okay.
And another.
We already said chart with the body. The key is that the chart should be an Islamic chart with the body. All right.
So the second chart is the one with the chart of the arm with the different parts clearly labeled. And an activity sheet with a picture of an arm and the different parts listed at the side. Then empty sheets of paper and pencil. The objective is to teach the pupil to identify and name the different parts of the arm, which are the armpit, elbow, wrist, hand, finger, and thumb.
Is there more?
That's well, it. There's the methodology. Next page. Yeah. So, step one, 5 minutes, play Simon Says.
Okay. So we know what we need to do here.
I seem to be a culprit. The first chart without the trousers, now Simon said. So I'm going to play that then. Where you randomly name the body part previously taught and the pupil have to quickly touch the correct body part to revise the previous lesson. Extend the revision by using the chart of the body, pointing to each part and letting the pupil call it its name.
Okay. What can we do here in this implementation? I think what you can do, what I would do in this class, is I would show an artificial arm, a robotic arm, right? And you show them that robotic arm and what it's able to do and what it can't do. And then you ask them, do you think that robotic arm could have come about by accident? And it's so inferior to the human arm. You see, this is the subtle message we need to be putting in their heads all the way along. Could it be by accident? Because that's what the whole of Western thought is promoting. It's all accident. We're here by an accident. So we want to put in their mind, just make that imprinted in their mind. There's no accident here. This is, has to be a law. You know, if we had to be there to make that robotic arm, for sure, there had to be a law to make that real arm. You know? So this is something we try to bring into all of our science classes. Please carry on.
We could also ask the children to name body parts that have been mentioned in the Quran.
Body parts mentioned in the Quran, for them to go find them might be problematic. I think we need to bring it. Maybe we bring the verses, some text which mention the body parts, and we ask them to identify which ones refer to the parts. Right?
Well, for the children I'm dealing with, they've memorized a significant portion. I think when we ask them, they could actually mention ayah.
You can try.
The verse that I would like to bring is maybe Inna khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. Maybe we could bring that one. About the body parts.
When showing body parts, also in general, but because your class is on the arm, stay on the arm. Then show them how the arm is, compare it to the robotic arm. Is this ahsani taqwim or not?
I'm just saying, would you maybe talk about the ayah that talks about clothing the bones with flesh, since the arm has got bones? Or would that be too? What class is it? Sorry?
I said it's primary one, it's a bit too advanced for them.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay.
So what else are you doing?
Then step 3, 20 minutes, that's focus the attention of the pupils to the chart of the arm, explaining that the arm has different parts and that all have a name. Point and name each one after the other, having the pupils repeat after you separately. Only move to the next part after they've mastered the part. So, step 4, play Simon Says. And then, it's play Simon Says when the individual pupils will be touching the correct part.
Okay.
Step 5, give each pupil an activity sheet and a pencil. Each student should write his name and complete the activity sheet by matching the names of the part to the correct part. Go around, help the pupils read the names of the parts, but do not assist when them in matching. Collect sheets at the end of the class.
So, in terms of the historical relevance, it may be possible at that time we have Muslim surgeons, and in their surgery they did look at the hand, the arm, etc. You can show a picture of that and give a name, so they heard that name. Okay.
And they use their hands actually to do, perform the surgery. So that will also help.
Inshallah.
That's cute. Like,
The hand in Salah?
Yes.
Yeah, amongst the activities, movements of the hands in Salah. And when you're doing the hand in Salah, you know, my advice is that you also show them the correct way, right? Because the tendency
for them as well as everybody else is when you're raising up your hands, you just swing your hand right, where you're supposed to bring up the whole arm before, right? So you can make some corrections in Salah.
Can we also mention the verse of wudu?
Washing to the elbows.
The lint of the arm.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we wash to the arms, to the elbows. Yes. And you can also, you know, even just as a point of thought for them, ask them why when we make wudu, we wash to the elbows and not the whole arm. You know? Just for them to think, stop and think for a minute. Why is Islam described that? Because this is the greater part of the arm that tends to be exposed. This is the bottom line, you know. Usually the upper arm is not exposed, it's covered in the garment or something like this. So this is the greater part of the arm. Just to give them an idea that there are reasons. There are reasons why we do what we do. Anything else you'd like to add? Anything else to add to
the moral
message?
Yes.
Hitting each other. Pinching. Okay? Destroying things. This is the bad use of the arm. Huh? Yes, also eating and drinking, because the hand is part of the arm. The lesson that eating and drinking with the right hand, yes? Yeah, receiving and giving things also with the right hand. Again, for that age, I guess a moral story, a story in which somehow the arm comes in, hands, what hands did or whatever. Inshallah. Okay, how is our time? Do you have, shall we take another one? Huh? Enough?
Yes, we need to break.
Okay. Last minute. Meeting. Okay, so we have seen a variety. What we would like you to do, those who are participating with this project for the Ummah, benefit of Ummah, not just Kaduna and the schools of Kaduna, because ultimately this we want to link up with other schools around the world who are doing a similar thing. Share this to bring it up online and make your lesson plans available. Other people can benefit from it and you can benefit from theirs. That's the, we're looking for the benefit of the global Ummah. Right? The other thing that I'd like to ask you, because right now you are writing in books. For us to be able to work with this effectively, we need to have it electronic.
Yes.
Do it in Word documents that can be saved. If we could do that, it would go a long way to benefiting ourselves here as well as elsewhere. So if that can become a new approach, where the lesson plans can be in that format as opposed to writing it in books, to put it in documents, and then it can be checked in the same way it's checked by in the physical book, it can be checked, and that way even if you send your lesson plans in, you know, you don't have to be there to hand over the plan to the teacher to mark and hand it back over to you. It can be sent, you know. We are in that age.
Yes.
You know, what's happened is that many of us are still back in the, the writing in the books age, inshallah. So I think we will we'll close our session unless anybody would like to raise any more issues or questions. We can look at it before closing.
Otherwise, we'll break now. And coming back after the break, it's an hour from now. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, we will rejoin. But I think is it everybody or it's just the heads?
Oh, are we finished?
Yeah, that's it. I think you want to go through some more. Project?
With conditions.
With conditions?
Yes.
Okay, let
you
us know.
You can see in here now people are eager, ready to go. But I'm telling you from experience, when we call for the meeting, you'll see maybe half of the numbers. And I'm not kidding. And I'm not fabricating. Okay, you guys are all witnesses. So the condition is we need absolute commitment. If you see a dream, don't reverse back. That's why I even said, let them send their teachers who have to report to them, it's mandatory for them, because some of the proprietors are not actively involved in running their schools, unlike some of us. Okay? So as a proprietor who is running his school, he doesn't have any excuse. He's going to be involved. But he who is not actively running the school should send an active member of his staff to do that. We don't want to start something and then it will fizzle out. Like he said, it will go to die naturally. And before we start saying yes or no or this or that, I think we ought to see the template. And then also, like the secretary said, we are working on a combined Islamic curriculum on the national level. But this is so profound that I am going to take it to Ibadan and tell them about it. Going from the lesson plan up to the curriculum, I think it's far better than doing the curriculum and then coming down to the lesson planning stage. This is something that is a radical change, but this one is just a small input that doesn't even alter anything. We don't have to even explain to the ministry. They don't even check, you know. They check your timetable, by the way, but they don't go that. Sometimes if you're an Islamic school, you expect to be treated with serious scrutiny, okay? And then you have the one you show the government, and then there's the one you work with. That's how it is.
Assalamualaikum. Azim from Little Swala Secondary School. Islamization of the education as it is embedded in our lesson plan. And that was what was used to give us a paper for the junior secondary exam and the senior secondary examination. It is titled under what we call added value. The teachers are expected to come with the Quranic classes related to the lesson or an addition. So this, what we've gone through is an addition. There are certain things that they are not critical of. So with us, it is very easy. But I know what operates in the school, the primary and secondary school. The primary school have a lesson plan format that is different from us that they are working on. And they are also improving it. And also want to implement what you are doing. But just as she said, since there is a template, if we see the template, now I was talking about the template, because the way we operate in secondary school in Nigeria, the lesson plans are structured. It's a bit different from the primary lesson plan, the format. The seven things are included. When we see this template, we want to see the template, we have to actually see, let's see that there is a template. Once we see it, we have the committee, I think we are just beginning, we see the template, that's how we can work with it. And if there is need for us to, we are just speaking in Arsenal, if we see the template, we say, okay, we can work with it, we can work with it. Ministry in Nigeria generally, once you can defend what you are doing, they will give you a proposal. Ministry in Nigeria, don't have, they, when they came around to give us a proposal for the SSE and the NECO and my SSE, after we explained it, they are running, they say it's okay, I should just participate here. So, I'm not the ministry should get the possibility, still not the regular stuff that we have. Those subject names, objectives, and stuff like that. Just as what is presented. But they need for us to actually see it and convince our teachers also to work along with us. Because the problem we have more with our lesson plan is that you see teachers, the teacher will run through a year's lesson plan, a Muslim teacher. We are talking about Christians. We have Muslim teachers that will even include one running class and they're telling the government to go for it. Even if they put them to the office. So the work is more on us. That's why it is better the heads are the one involved in the committee, not sending a teacher. If you have a teacher that is committed, that is in the committee, would that teacher be able to convince the other teacher to do it? Is that teacher going to check all the other teachers' lesson plan that they are producing for their lessons in school? No, it is still the best person is for the head. So the head can coordinate for everything in the school and then bring to the committee and then you can work with it. That's what I mean.
The point of implementation in the school, this must come from the top. Yes, there's no doubt about that. The top needs to assign somebody in the school who is responsible for it. If the top, like yourself, says, I will also take that responsibility, fine. But as we said, as Sister said, most schools, it won't be that way. The proprietors are busy with other things, etc. They have other commitments. They're not prepared to take that responsibility of seeing this through. But they believe in the concept. They believe in the goals. So they assign somebody. There must be somebody assigned in the school to check with the teachers. The teachers have to bring in their, because you have somebody already checking there. So you have one who's just checking from a general perspective. Now we need one checking up and down from an Islamic perspective. Are these things being done? You know, so it's just dedicating somebody to it, and this will be your person who will be ensuring that implementation is taking place, and they would need to be the ones in that meeting in your committee, because they are the people on the ground who are actually handling it and doing it.
Salaam alaikum. I think the most important thing here is for us to agree that we're all interested. This is the most important thing. We've been saying a lot regarding this in France. There's no single criteria. There's no simply universal agreed lesson plan in this world. There's no. We have different lesson plans, and the ministries of education do visit us and see these different lesson plans and they agree with them. So if we all come to agree with one simple template, who will say no to us? And this template is subject to change, as the doctor just said. They bring this in to us and we feel that there are certain changes that need to be done. We need to change this and we apply it. I think let's all agree that we are going to win. And regarding the issue of coming to Islamic model schools, it's a very good idea, but I think let's start with a few numbers. They are a body on their own. They might agree or disagree. They have certain priorities. So if you bring something to me and I have my own priorities, I will not accept it. But we have certain members here that are part of it. So few schools can start. And as it develops, then we'll tip it in and it can be part of, you know, what they are doing. And another thing is the issue of the curriculum. The curriculum that they are working on. We can stop this because we're just out in the curriculum. It's not yet ready. So let's start doing something on the lesson plans. By the time that the curriculum is ready, then we'll continue with it. So I think something has to start at a given time. And that time is now. There's an obligation in every single other process. Let's see that obligation in us. That obligation is every single person here has to have something to present to Allah. This is what I'm able to do here. And this is one of the best things that you can present. You are trying to establish tawheed in knowledge. And that's the fundamental thing in Islam. Iqra bismi rabbik. That's very fundamental. Iqra bismi rabbik. This is what you're trying to establish. So I think this is something that we should agree to go into now with the very few schools that we are having. And let's see how we can contact each other and with all the commitment see that we succeed. We can have different ways of doing it. Let's start with this few numbers. Let's take, if we like, family school now. Or divide our number into two. You go and do that of primary. We go and do that of secondary. Or we can take subjects. Let's say we have four schools for primary. You take two subjects. You take two subjects. You take two. Then we can come up with something at the end of the year. Likewise, the secondary section, they can also do that. You take two subjects. You take two. And let's see that we walk close to each other. We see that we bring something at the end of the year.
Assalamu alaikum. I think the suggestion is, I would say it's good. While we do what our brother has said, a few schools start this thing small. Small things that lead to big things and bigger things. You start something, you don't know where it's going to run, you just start. And so I would say we should do what you said. And that does not stop our sister over there from taking it to Army's national listing and throw it at them. Because, as he mentioned, they may decide, no, we are already engaged in trying to run this national curriculum. We are kind of this now. So we can start on our own and move ahead. I'm sorry to say we are running out of time. We're coming to me and we've got a very bad road. I just want us to get some conclusions. What are we agreeing on? What do we conclude on? without your help.
Or not. Because the smell is like going back. In the beginning, it seemed.
In the beginning, it seemed everybody was in agreement to be under Alice. Now it seems we're saying Alice is maybe too occupied with what they're doing, so let's. I don't know. Now I'm lost.
Okay, let me just.
I don't think nobody is saying that. I think we all agreed. Is there anybody opposed to doing it under Alice?
No.
Okay.
Nobody opposed?
Just,
so what do you mean by doing it
under Alice?
No, doing it in little groups. This is what I don't understand.
Let me explain. These were multiple suggestions.
Okay.
He was suggesting we could do it like this, or we could do it like that. Anyway, that how are we going to do it? We do that after. First thing, if we accept Amis as the umbrella, Amis accepts a committee functioning within Amis for this, with Amis as the umbrella, that's agreed upon. Then we need to just delegate, identify some people who will be coming together, or schools that will send somebody, and you set another meeting where you come together and look at the template, which I already suggested has already been done, you know, which is modifiable. You all who are in that committee now look over the template, you all agree on it, take it back to your school, check it, you know, get the feedback, finalize, because we're still talking about the new year. We're not talking about now because it's too late now. The school year is almost finished, right? So it's for the new year. So we're just preparing everything, putting it in place, identifying who's going to do what work and that, and then the details of whether we're going to portion it off and all that. That committee will work out the best way to do it. So I think, you know, I think right now it's just a matter of assigning or identifying the people who will be on the committee, Amis will meet, and from there establish the body and take the next steps.
So I would personally second to what was said, that Sister Fatima should be the head of that committee, because she has a passion and a drive, and she's really interested in the previous thing. And that's very important. Then maybe we can give her a leeway to choose the other members of the committee who are probably resident in Kaduna to work with. The rest of us that have emails, whatever it is, to keep us posted in regards to what your committee is doing. I think that will go a long way in moving things forward. That's what I think. Maybe.
Well, I don't know if it's choosing, isn't it, that all the schools will decide who will be their representative of that committee. You know, Sister Fatima will take the in terms of following up and arranging the timing for the next meeting. We know what the agenda is, getting the template, you know, so it can be looked over. You can send it to them ahead of time before you meet, so people can raise their saving time, raise their objections or whatever. They can show it to the school before you have the next meeting. But all schools have a right to have a representative on this committee. If the school decides, well, look, it's okay, you know, such and such a school is good enough for us, whatever they agree on, we're fine with it. Fine. It doesn't mean they have to be represented, but everyone has the opportunity to be represented. Okay? So you want to identify, we have all the major schools here that were invited to the program. You want to identify the members now? Well, the committee should have a secretary also, right? Somebody will keep track of all of these decisions. A volunteer for the secretarial position, keeping minutes and... It doesn't have to be a female. Do we have a volunteer? So we can move...
He will.
Secretary Amis. But are you overwhelmed with your Amis secretarial work? You're overwhelmed? You accept it? Okay. Okay, so what we need to get then is the names of the people of the committee, and then coordinate the timing for the next meeting. We know that the assignment for Sister Fatima would be to get the template and get it out to all of the members, so they can take it back to their people and get their suggestions, so that you can try to incorporate or do what needs to be done when the next meeting takes place. Okay? Yes, understood. No, you have a safe trip back to Mina, and we hope to see you in the near future, inshallah. My salams to everybody in Nuevo and his mom, father,
inshallah. I suggest schools should nominate at least 2 members to be part of this committee, so that if one person is in this school, the other person can represent, so that we can avoid what the sister is talking about.
Attrition. Two nominations. So you will follow up, you will choose 2 people, right? Going also. We are here.
After the lesson plans should be the one actively involved in the issue. And the issue of creating an email and sending it, I don't think you have any dedicated staff that will go through it. It's better if the committee sits, it could sit twice a week, every 2 weeks, every month, and review. I mean, I'm just suggesting. Sorry, ma. So what I'm just saying is, if we do it constantly, it becomes a habit. So the committee can keep on moving with it. But if we say we're going to do it once a while or at the end of the term, honestly, we'll have the attrition problem.
To have a fixed day in the month, the last Friday of the month or whatever day, so that it's every month, it's the same day, I think is a good decision. That way it can be regular. Maybe in the beginning you might need to meet more often, maybe the first month or two, and then afterwards you can shift it down. But anyway, inshallah, you will follow up with this then. Okay. All right. Barakallahu feekum. Yes, please.
I don't know if you have agreed to have two representatives. You said something of representatives in a week. He has a two representatives. He was lost.
Didn't quite hear. You're asking about the two representatives?
Yes, this is my sister here said. The head and 2 representatives, in case if one person is in the school.
Head and 2 representatives being 3 people? No, I don't think so. Just 2 representatives.
Okay.
Just 2 representatives.
Okay, have we agreed?
Any objection to that? No. That's up to the committee. You can decide. Maybe the numbers become too big and bulky, you know, that you can't get anything done. Okay. Any other issue before we close? Time for the next meeting.
to be fixed. The time for the next meeting and location for the next meeting.
Seeking knowledge and obligation made easy. Thought about studying for a long time? Tuition fees keeping you from actually starting? Islamic Online University has led a revolution in online learning. The world's first tuition-free degree, BA in Islamic Studies. Access the knowledge, any place, anytime, anywhere. It just doesn't get any easier than that. Classes, texts, assignments, completely online. Set your own schedule for the semester. No overseas travel required for the exams. Subjects taught by qualified English-speaking scholars. Weekly live sessions in virtual classrooms. With curricula based on those in Al Madina University in Saudi Arabia, Al Azhar University in Cairo, and other reputable institutions around the world. Why wait any longer? You pay just a symbolic registration fee and are ready to begin the adventure of higher education. The most diverse student body of any university in the world. 130,000 plus registered students from 217 countries. Log in to the website for more details. www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.